Okay, Michael, we're going to ask you to act in what do they call it, in loco parentis or something?
Yeah.
And to give school approval for this interview, because it's anybody granted. Who's under the age of 18, theoretically, we would need
permission.
Parental permission.
Yeah.
But if we get that from you.
Yep, you got it. Yep.
We got what?
Parental permission for the two students at the table who are under 18.
Okay. Would you like to introduce them quickly?
Oh, yeah. Look at this crew here. All right. So we've got five students who have been in the program. Brian Benjamin there in the middle was in the last cohort, but has been essentially an extension of this one. And then we have Katie Noonan, Robbie Hoagland, Caroline Conley, and Keith Allen. And the four of them are all in this cohort. Keith and Robbie have just finished their seniors, and Caroline and Katie are still with us and have one more year at the high school.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. So.
And just for the record, too, Brian's last name is Benjamin.
Okay.
Brian Benjamin.
Yeah. Katie Noonan.
Yeah.
Caroline. Katie, can you and Caroline
Conley, C-O-N-L-E-Y.
Change places?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who's Keith? You're Keith. What's your last name?
Allen, A-L-L-E-N.
What's your name?
Robert Hoagland.
H-O-G-L-A-N-D?
H-O-A-G-L-U-N-D.
H-O-A-G-L-U-N-D.
Mm-hmm. And just so you guys know before you start, too, so this is for the archives here at the library at this point, so you don't have to worry that like next week it's going to be on the radio or anything. So there's no pressure, just, yeah.
No. So could you please say my name is and introduce yourself?
My name is Caroline Conley. I'm a junior.
Your date of birth?
December 18th, 1995.
Say that again, please.
December 18th, 1995.
Okay. Well, could you tell me how you came to this program and what your experience with it has been?
I'm not a student who learns really well in a regular classroom where I'm forced to just take notes and listen to a teacher talk all day. I'm much more of an experiential learner. So when I heard about the program, Rivers and Revolutions, I was really excited because, you know, you do a lot of field trips and you do a lot of, the program basically just approaches a student and a student's type of learning from a bunch of different angles. And I'd also heard about Mr. Goodwin and how much of a great teacher he was. So I was really excited to get to know him, and I knew that it would be a really great program for me.
You weren't a little put off by the title of it?
Rivers and Revolutions? No, I was excited. Thought that'd be interesting, try something new.
So what's been then your experience with it?
It's been absolutely incredible. Just the whole atmosphere of the classroom, it's sort of like a second family. And getting to know all the teachers and getting to know all of these students who I probably would have never crossed paths with in the first place has been really great. And
students you never would have crossed paths with?
Yeah, just like, I don't know, students of all different kinds, people who I might not have been friends with without the program. And also just my learning experience in the program. I've excelled pretty well in the program. And I don't know, it just totally goes with my learning techniques. And I get to try so many new things, and I'm for the first time in a lot of years, I'm really excited to walk into school in the morning.
Oh. So tell me about experiential learning and what the difference is between that and what and more traditional.
Traditional learning in regular high school just means you walk into class, you sit down, you basically do the same thing, which is you look at the board and you listen to a teacher talk and you take notes. And a lot of kids can't absorb information that way because they'll either get bored, distracted, or a lot of kids are visual learners and they need hands-on work. So what Rivers and Revolutions does is it gives kids who don't necessarily learn that way in a regular classroom be able to learn that way. So we do a lot of field trips. We do a bunch of different activities that help us to sort of approach any of the material we're learning from completely different angles, and just keeps you moving all the time, which is really great.
Can you give me an example of, say, the most memorable of these field trips for you?
In the winter, we went to a glass-blowing place in Boston called Diablo Glass, where we got to, that was during one of our fire units, and we got to learn about the process of glass blowing and really hands-on, just right up in front of the big fireplaces where they're just melting glass and making just incredible art in front of us, which was really great.
Could you tell me your name and introduce yourself?
I'm Rob Hoagland, and
your date of birth?
April 5th, 1995.
Okay. Talk about your relationship with all of this.
Well, like, I really believe that everyone is we're all hands-on learners, you know. You learn everything by actually experiences. You know, you're not going to become a doctor, lawyer, anything without actually, you know, practicing and getting hands-on the material. And I think that the normal school and the normal way we've done things for a pretty long time, and the way we do things in traditional K through 12 education, is not really doing that. There's very little hands-on. It's all memorization, and there's really not applying what you learn to anything. And I think that's what the one of the biggest goals of Rivers is, to really go hands-on, to really get to really put what you learn to good use. And I think that's what I've got personally out of it. I'm actually learning stuff and then applying it to things. I've never really done that before in school.
Talk a little bit about some cases where that's been especially valuable for you.
So we do, I had to set up an exhibit in the Concord Museum, and that was just kind of mind-blowing to me that I actually get to set up be part of an exhibit in a real museum, in a real thing. Like, not just, because school, it's all about, like, theories, and theoretically, if you were to do this, you'd do this. But we actually got to actually do something and actually, like, show what we've done. And you got to apply teamwork, how to communicate, like, people rely on you as much as you rely on other people. And it's kind of like team-building exercises. Kind of hard to explain, but it's just kind of like, it's just directly hands-on stuff.
So you went and worked with a museum?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Talk about that.
That was just really cool. Looking back at high school, I really didn't think I was ever going to do anything that significant in my high school career. And the fact that I could say that I put up a real exhibit in a real museum is just something that I can take away from high school and say, wow, I did something amazing in high school. And I don't think many students come out of high school going, I did something amazing. I did something that I'll look back and go, wow, or just anything significant. Most kids, you know, they do a couple tests and they forget about it. They learn all this material and they just absolutely just throw it away because they don't find it relevant. And I found that Concord Museum experience so relevant, so amazing, and I think I'm gonna remember it forever. And
how did it all happen?
So we have all these things called stewardships, and basically you actually go out in the community of Concord, and there's a couple options. I chose the Concord Museum, and it's really going out there and doing something directly involved in your community. And one of the I chose the Concord Museum because I found it interesting and that I want to put up an exhibit. And so yeah, we got our group, and it was confusing at first. We didn't know what our ideas we were going to do or what our topic was going to be and how it was all going to come together. It was up in the air. And but yeah, it was a frustrating long process, but it was rewarding. And we decided to do the education, like how learning has evolved in Concord, like how the educational system has learned in Concord, and that kind of theme. And it's pretty relevant to us because we're such a revolutionary idea, Rivers and Revolutions, the idea that a new step in learning in high school. So I think it just and it was perfect. And really, it all came together really well. It's at the Carnegie Museum right now. It'll be there for another 2, maybe 3 weeks, and came out really nice.
Give me more of a sense of how it actually worked. Did you go every day to the museum?
We went once or twice a month. We spent like a good portion discussing what we were going to do, how it was going to look, what objects from their collection we were going to put up there. We had to figure out, research on, how learning has evolved in Concord. And that was actually most of the process, just brainstorming and coming up with the idea. We didn't actually set it up until the last day before it came up, and that was kind of like actually putting our ideas to good use, and it was just really cool. Just I've never actually set up and done something like that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to reach? So she can do this at the other end.
Okay.
And I.
Hi. Would you introduce yourself? Say my name is.
Hi, my name is Katie Noonan. I'm from Carlisle, Mass.
Your date of birth?
My date of birth is January 24th, 1996.
Can you connect yourself with this Rivers and Revolutions program? How'd you get into it?
Sure. Actually, at first, my parents really wanted me to do it, and to be completely honest, I really did not want to do it. I didn't know, given that I didn't know much about it at the time, but it was mainly because they thought that I would have a harder time in calculus and chemistry of my junior year. I still happened to take chemistry A block in the beginning of the day, but I did indeed have a hard time with calculus. And I was really reluctant to doing it. I wasn't very open to taking risks at the time. But that's how I got to do it, because my parents really wanted me to do it, and I said I'd give it a try, so I did. And I immediately found that it was a really good decision, and that I would regret it gratefully, like, if I didn't do it a lot. Like, I would really not be happy if I didn't do it, because the classes I was taking were very hard for me. And the style of learning in Rivers is so much more... like my type of learning.
Your type of learning?
Yeah. I tend to learn better if I'm actually doing things instead of memorization of facts and like spitting it out on a test the next day. I don't function that way. Like in Rivers, instead of testing, we do projects. So that takes what you learn and you put it into your hands and then apply it to something that you create yourself, instead of, you know, writing a paper or expressing your learning through the tip of a pencil. That doesn't really work for me, and I think that I soak in facts more when I'm actually applying them.
Can you give an example of a project you've been working on?
Every synthesis project, we take what we learned in the units that we had been participating in and create something out of it, whether it be a painting or a video or something like that. I did a video where I captured on camera burning wood that every year people tend to burn the wood that they don't use. And so I was expressing the relationship between creation and destruction. And then I happened to catch on camera like a fire, someone's house on fire, like down my street. So I compared them in the videos, like on purpose fire and like one that's unexpected. And just like I used that to express the power of fire, whether it be on purpose or not. So that's an example of that. Also, something that I really remember as a good example of this type of learning is, like in math, we would do math in the Rivers and Revolutions program and learn about measuring angles or like arcs and all that stuff, like geometry. And then like right after we learned it, we'd go outside and measure the angle of the building in relationship to the ground, and we got to actually apply what we just learned, whereas in regular class you'd learn it, write it down in your notebook, and never see it again. So I think that's very important. That's a vital part of the Rivers and Revolutions program.
Think about the transformation caused by fire. It makes me wonder about your own transformation in the context of this class,
mm-hmm.
or this year.
Yeah, like what Caroline was saying when we went to Diablo Glass in Boston, that was a lot about creation and destruction, how you can use fire to create something beautiful, or like use something, you can destroy something, but in the end the outcome is beautiful. And I think that it relates to my transformation in the way that entering the Rivers and Revolutions program was something that I didn't want to do, and it was something that I thought would be detrimental to my learning and my future in college and stuff. And then it happened to turn out to be something that's going to really help me a lot, and
I'm so grateful that I did it, and that's something that is really important in understanding how I transformed throughout the program.
So you think it'll help you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that anything that's, you know, makes you look and say, like, oh, this kid is different from, you know, the millions of other kids applying to college every year. I think that, or, like, applying for a job, like, I think that when something sticks out and something is very different from the traditional form of education, it's definitely beneficial.
What about internally?
Internally? Yeah, I think it was a great experience internally because it had to do a lot with reflection. We each had journals in it. Every kid has a journal, and we write every day. We have journal entries or take down notes on things that we've been doing outside or on field trips and in activities in the classroom. And it taught me a lot about, like, how important it is to reflect on the things that you do every day or the thoughts that you have and just get them out because, you know, they get lost when you're doing this, you know, traditional, not thinking about, like, what you think, just thinking about what's being told to you. So I think that it's very important for students to be able to reflect on things that they're learning and reflect on how they're responding to things that they're doing. I think that internally I've learned that reflection is very good, and I'll probably continue doing journal entries for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk with you for the next hour, but I know you have other things to do. Is there any piece that you'd want to add?
I just think that a big part of what I've gotten from this is just that students especially shouldn't be afraid to take risks and step out of the norm. And that's what I've learned a lot from this program. That's it.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was nice to meet you.
You too.
Hello, my name is Keith Allen. I was born on March 16th, 1995, and I am from Boston.
Tell me about how you came to be in this program.
Originally, I was suggested to Goodwin by a teacher, a former teacher of mine, and he thought I would have been a good fit for Rivers and Revolutions. And I was quite skeptical in the beginning. I didn't know too much about it. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to be part of it. But then Hoodwin kind of hunted me down and kind of harassed me pretty much every day, telling me I should do it, I should think about it, I should fill out an application, just get into it. And I eventually did, as he suggested, and it's been great ever since. It's definitely something I do enjoy going to every day and learning from.
What was your skepticism?
I work well in traditional learning. I do pick up information rather quickly, so it's not hard for me to succeed in a regular classroom. I've always been good with just writing down notes and, like, keeping it in my mind, and whether or not I review it, it usually stays there, and I can usually recall it whenever I want. And that was working well for me. And this whole, like, experiential learning through, like, your experiences and, like, what you do, hands-on stuff, it looked fun, but I didn't really know if I consider that true learning. And that's what worried me. I wasn't sure if I would get the same information out of Rivers as I would in regular school, and it would be something that would be beneficial towards me. But once I did enroll in Rivers and first started off, it was slow in the beginning. It took me a while to get used to. But once it picked up, I started learning a lot of new things, things I never thought I would have learned. And just experiencing education through a new form.
Wow.
Things you never thought you would have learned.
What about the slowness? Talk a little bit about that beginning.
In the beginning, it was a lot of, like, icebreaking, trying to introduce you to the other members. There's 54 students in our cohort this semester versus the 38 that were in the first one. And they just wanted to make sure that, like, you would be able to work well with other people. And that right there just seemed kind of long. Like, we spent weeks on the end just, like, trying to get close with each other. And it was something that would naturally happen, but I feel like without it, you wouldn't really be pushing yourself. Because there were a few people I didn't know. And without all that, I probably wouldn't have introduced myself to them and become great friends with them. And, yeah.
So in the end, are you saying that was worth it or not? Or?
It was. It definitely was worth it. It's just that at the time, I didn't think it was true learning. So that's what I thought was slow. But being able to talk to anyone in the room, kind of like talk ideas and like look at information with new perspectives with other people, it definitely improved the way you learned. So that helped out.
What sort of internal revolutions do you think you've undergone?
Internal revolutions. Huh, okay. I haven't had it. Okay, so...
You want to think about that for a minute?
I think I can answer it. I'll try my best, at least. As I said originally, I learned best through books. And... I do need to think about it. I'm sorry.
And I could put this more simply, too. You know, just what... Tell me about what the experience has been like for you.
It's enlightened me as to who I am as a person. I used to always kind of build a wall around myself and, like, my emotions with other people. I don't like to get too attached to people. And Rivers has definitely brought me closer with all 53 other students. They seem as if they are our family. They've definitely helped me improve who I am as a person. Rivers has definitely offered me a lot of insight on the world and especially myself.
Can you give an example? A change to you as a person?
Changed to me as a person? Yeah. When I first met people, I never really was a very outgoing guy. And there would be times where I usually use sarcasm and like remarks to kind of defend myself. And, like, in order to, like, to make an interaction with a person, it might not always be beneficial, might not always be good. And ever since Rivers has, like, I've been in Rivers, I've pushed myself past that, trying to always be, like, the kind, gentle guy I truly am and let people see that. So I no longer rely on the sarcasm, you know, and things like that in order to create an image.
Will you still be able to be that kind, gentle guy when you return to more traditional education?
Most certainly. Rivers has changed me for the better, and I feel permanently. Whenever I do go into the regular high school, I do carry my Rivers persona with me. So it's not even a persona, it's who I am now. And so I just try to be the gentle guy that Rivers has taught me to be and to bring it to the world.
You said that you live in Boston.
Yes.
Were you already at school in Concord?
Yeah, I've been in Concord in the MECL system since first grade. So I've been making my way out here since first grade every morning. It's a long trip, but it's worth it.
Can you speak to that at all? I mean, it's been a long time. You're in some ways
about
entrenched
the MECL program?
In this system. Yeah, what that's been like for you coming from a different community, a different background.
As you just said, a different community and background, they definitely do play a huge role in my whole educational process. When I first came here in first grade, I was very concerned and worried that I would not fit in because of my racial identity. And over the years, it was something that I struggled with. I never truly wanted to identify myself as a certain particular race. I would always just be like, oh, you can guess, and I won't really tell you whether or not you're correct. It was something I'm sad to say I was ashamed of, because I wouldn't always fit in, and there'd be certain times that being a certain race wasn't very beneficial towards me. But over the years, as I struggled with it, I tried my best to figure out who I was, and not until this year, I actually figured out who and like what I am. Rivers definitely did help with that as well. It allowed me to realize that people really don't judge you by your race or your ethnicity anymore, that they're very accepting. It's improved my educational, like, my educational learning has definitely improved over the years. Before, whenever teachers would say, like, I did a good job and just, like, praise me, I always thought, like, oh, it's because I was the black kid doing well out of the few that did. So they, like, had to make a point to, like, address that. But I've realized that that's not what it was. It's truly because I'm doing great as a student academically, and they just thought it'd be something that was worth praising. So, yeah.
That's a good distinction. What did we miss that you really want to say?
About rivers or anything?
Anything.
Rivers has made me a more creative person. Originally, whenever I did projects, I would just do like a poster and print up some facts and like just hand in a paper with it. But ever since these unit synthesis assignments, which are the projects that we have to do for every unit, I've been getting more and more abstract. Originally, I started trying to do like painting and art. I did that one time, and then I moved over towards something a little more sophisticated, a little mechanism that rotates. And it has fire in the center, so when it like rotates, the fire will spin up and create a fire tornado. That was something I took a lot of pride in doing, and it took me a while to get it right, but I never would have seen myself creating something like that outside of rivers. Without rivers, I would have never been inspired to do that. So that was a good run.
Did you ever see a film called October Sky?
No, I did
not. Oh, check it out. It's October about Sky. West Virginia kids growing up in a coal camp. Who figure
coal.
Mm-hmm.
Coal camp in southern West Virginia, a very poor place.
Mm-hmm. Wanting to be astronauts.
Wanting to be astronauts. Had this dream of being able to build and fly a rocket.
Wow.
Check it out.
What is it called?
October Sky.
October Sky, all right.
It's, the book it's based on is called Rocket Boys. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Wish you well.
I'll stick it out to hear what you got to say, Brian.
All right.
26.
Hey, Brian, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Brian Benjamin, born November 10th, 1994, in San Francisco, California, and there began my journey across the country. Lived in Colorado, back to California, here all over the state, and now I'm sitting here.
And how did you come to be in Rivers and Revolutions?
Bear with me for a second. So, out of some subway scuttle, cell, or loft, a bedlamite speeds to thy parapets, tilting there momently, shrill shirt ballooning, heart crane to Brooklyn Bridge. And when I think of that segment, and when I read that segment, it's not enough for me to think about it and read it. I want to be there. I want to be on the Brooklyn Bridge, having the New York air wrap my shirt around me and tilt over the parapet or the side of the bridge.
That quote is from?
Heart Cranes to Brooklyn Bridge.
By
Heart Crane.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Heart, you spelled?
Heart, HARTCRANE.
Okay, so you want to be there, feeling
yep.
that.
And I feel like the education system here and around the country, as I've experienced, says that it's enough to read it. It's enough to simply see, to imagine what Hart Crane was thinking when he wrote that poem, that bit of literature. And it's not enough. And I was on track to graduate a year early from high school so I could actually go out and experience life through different eyes and take in as much content, however you want to define content. And then I think a couple months before I was ready to shoot off into the world, I heard an announcement over the intercom at the school, Rivers and Revolutions informational meeting in the little theater, and I said, what's that? Rivers and Revolutions. Sounds like where I want to be.
That was the first you'd heard of it?
First I'd heard of it. That would be the late semesters of my junior year of high school.
So the name made you want to
yeah,
be there?
Yeah, so I hear the name, I go to the little theater, and I hear Michael Goodwin talking about it, and I was convinced, hooked, ready to go. So I signed up, I abandoned my plan to leave the high school early, and I stayed and took part in the program, and it was single-handedly the most important academic thing I have done so far. Why? T- to have the drive to go out and experience is very risk. It's risk-oriented because, especially given my age, 17 years old, now 18, wanting to go out and simply exist and meet people, it's a dangerous thing to do without proper funding and so on and so forth. And Rivers and Revolutions is simply a safe place to do that, to do everything that you want to do academically, to see everything that you care to see, to go places around the state that you would have never gone by yourself. But here you're reading these interpretations from hundreds of years ago and these places that you're standing now in 2013, and it's an incredible experience. And not only that, it's paid for by the government. So you're having true learning centered around the question, why do we learn, or what do we learn for? And people are starting to actually answer that question, and it's actually being proposed. And you know, when you come out of it, you learn that we learn because it's fun. It's the most entertaining thing we can do for ourselves. It's why people do it. It's why this is being happening right now. You're having fun doing it, I assume. So, kids are starting to value their education as something that is intrinsically pleasing to them, not as something that we're required to do by the state, but rather because this is who I am down inside as a person and as a learner. I seek information, even if I don't realize it yet. This is what Rivers and Revolutions gives to us. And that's why it's so important.
How can
talk,
you...
Talk about a memorable field trip or a
moment
or
experience,
class discussion. That's something that really will stay with you forever.
So I remember one time in class we were discussing the situation of U.S. drone use in other sovereign nations. And we had this series of opposing opinions that were creating this immense clamor in the classroom, and everybody was at each other's throats and you know, disagreeing and agreeing and taking sides and changing, so on and so forth. And here we are in a classroom yelling at each other, angry with each other, because, you know, in my eyes, he's not right or she's not right, and in her eyes, I'm not right. But Rivers, the safety of Rivers, allows people to do that with each other. We are allowed to be at each other's throat. We can be without any consequences, because it's a learning environment, because we're all invested in our learning. And we know that just because he's yelling at me right now doesn't mean he doesn't value my opinion. And when in a regular classroom, if I were to yell at somebody, that would be taken very seriously. I would be punished and so on and so forth. But that is something that we do as humans. We duke things out and we create from that. And so that was a very condensed memory of the importance of the type of classroom that we have with the Rivers and Revolutions curriculum. It's very trusting enough to go places within ourselves that we wouldn't otherwise.
It seems so hard to go back into traditional modes of learning after that.
Yeah, and
high school or college.
I think the importance of a program like this is simply to get ourselves asking the question, what do we learn for? And once we start answering that question for ourselves, you don't return to a traditional thing. It's always there. You make your education a Rivers and Revolutions curriculum by yourself because you've discovered something within you that is hungry, the starving part of you. And I discovered that. and Rivers and Revolutions nurtured it, and now I feel prepared to go out and be that learner that wants everything, good or bad, the content of the world, if you will. Yeah, this is an amazing program. It really is.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Anything else from you, Michael? Mm-hmm.